I think what I have realized being a Christian and being a husband and father is life without Jesus Christ is a worthless passion. I think he is the ideal perfection and the truest form of heavenly wisdom. And I think his grace and his mercy and just what I've learned through failures and successes has really brought more of his power into our home. And the way we lead Xavier, the way we lead Rain, I mean, that's been a dominating force. Like, he's just the nucleus of our family. That's pretty much how it's guiding our family each and every day.
The Mid-America Passion Play, March 21st through the 24th at Mid-America Seminary, I-40 at Appling Road in Cordova, just across from Bellevue Baptist Church, is on the hills. Hi, and welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler, and it's our pleasure to welcome to the studio Dr. Jim Whitmire and Luke Whitmire together, father and son in the studio, to talk about a passion play, which is a dramatic retelling of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Mid-America Passion Play uses music and drama to share the truth of Jesus, his earthly ministry, and his redemptive work on the cross. Jim, here we are again to talk about the Passion Play.
This is absolutely wonderful. Byron, thank you for having us again.
Yes.
And you got Luke with you.
Yes.
And Luke portrays Jesus in the Passion Play.
Yes.
We have a lot we want to talk about. And I've known this family. I was thinking this morning, Jim, I remember as a junior in high school when I first joined Bellevue, I've shared the story every time we get together, but you and I have known each other for a long time. I can never forget. I always have to tell the story. Remember, after a service on Sunday morning, you saw me. You at that time were the director of junior high choir at Bellevue. You came off the platform. You came up to me. You said, "How come you're not in my choir?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Whitmire, I can't sing." And he said, "Come with me." He took me up to the piano on the stage, started hitting notes. And then you said, "Hit this note, hit that note. Okay, I'll see you tonight at 5. So that's how I began my time with the choir at Bellevue. And if it wasn't for Robert Dennison, who was next to me singing baritone, I could stay on pitch. But if Robert was absent, I was all over the place.
We've all been there. That's the way I started, too.
It's always great to have somebody on pitch, though. But it's always a pleasure. And then, of course, seeing your family. How many children now?
Six.
There is six children, right? Oldest is Kelly, and go down from there.
Kelly, Wendy, Wade, Shannon, Josh, and Luke.
And Luke. Luke is the baby.
He's the baby, yeah.
But he's the biggest baby, right?
Yeah. I'm the favorite.
So he's the favorite. We watched your family grow up at Bellevue through the years. And I know Luke has his own family now, married to Grace. And how long have you been married now?
We've been married for 13 years now.
Has it been 13 years?
Yeah.
Two children. Xavier and Rainy.
Rain.
God has blessed you with two beautiful children. Your path of work and ministry has just taken you all over. I know you left Memphis after you graduated from the University of Memphis in what, TV and film?
Yes, TV and film. Mainly film, got my film degree. Then wrote and directed a short film here in Memphis, Tennessee that got into the Los Angeles, New York City film festivals. And that took me to New York City working full time with Fox News Channel. Then that led me to Good Morning America, ABC, NBC Sports, where I did the Olympics and Super Bowl with them. Then CBS Sports, then all that experience in New York took me to Los Angeles.
Steadicam operator. Yeah. I mean, that's that guy on the sideline that has that cool camera that does all this really neat photography and videography. And so you've done that for so many years. But as you and Grace got married and the family started coming, God started moving in your heart to leave California. Tell us about that move. You're in Wichita now.
Yes, Wichita, Kansas. Been there for about 5 years now. We just didn't really like what was going out in California, and Xavier got diagnosed with autism, so we didn't really like the healthcare system in LA, so we just started praying about it, and my good friend from Wichita, Kansas called me and said, "Hey, we want you to come in and consult at our church in Wichita, Kansas." Went there. Make a long story short, they liked what I did and hired me, and I just felt like the Lord was pulling me towards Mid-America. Middle America.
I love that. And what's a great place. We have a Bot Radio Network has a radio station in Wichita. And I don't know if you have tuned in yet, but find us there in Wichita. You can get all the great Bot Radio Network programs there. Tina is our station manager there in Wichita. The church there in Wichita is New Spring Church. Is that right?
Yes, New Spring Church.
Pastored by Mark Hoover, who's been there since, what, 85, 86?
Yes. Yeah. Long time.
So,
about 35 years, I believe.
Wow. So you've been able to incorporate some of your film and you're overseeing video there.
Yes.
And Jim, over the years, we've seen media just really come into the church.
Oh, absolutely. And Mark Hoover is a great lover of Adrian Rogers, who he came, had Adrian come to his church and help raise money with, to buy the new land and build the church that they're at now. In fact, he brought his whole team to Bellevue to look at our warehouse and how we did productions and so forth.
That's just amazing to see how God puts people together,
right,
ministry together,
yes,
all for the purpose of the gospel. And that's really what the Passion Play is really all about. I know the Whitmire family has invested in Passion Plays for so many years. How would you gentlemen describe the way the Whitmire family has been affected through all these many performances that you've engaged in for so long?
Well, it's been interesting to see how Luke has grown from being a scourger up to playing Jesus.
He graduated.
He loved the scourging part, though. You know, he would beat Kerry Vaughn, who played Jesus in our time. But we were taking the Passion Play to Uruguay for 5 years, and Kerry Vaughn went with us for 4 of those years and played Jesus. And the last year that we were going to go was, that was your first year, wasn't it? And all of a sudden, Kerry had to stay here. 2 weeks before we were to go, his work said, you're going to have to stay here. So we looked at the age group of the 42 people who had paid to go, and Luke was the closest to Jesus. I said, Luke, you've got to play Jesus.
He said, I don't want to do it.
Oh, Daddy, he said, I can't do that. I said, you're the only one, you've got to. But that he did, and the rest is history. He did a great job.
So you were kind of put on the spot. I was going to ask you, Luke, my question was, when did you first express an interest in portraying the role of Jesus? But it seems like your dad said, hey, you're it.
Yeah, this talk went on for about 2 weeks. So he called me and said, hey, can you do this Passion Play going to Uruguay? And I said, Dad, this sounds like the worst idea in the history of bad ideas to get me to play Jesus. I said, I can't do this. You're going to have to find someone else. He's like, well, I need to know in 2 weeks. I love theater, as you know, love film. So I really started praying about it. And I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to build a ministry off his amazing legacy and, and spread the gospel. Going back to your question just a minute ago about how it's bettered my life, it has transformed my life in a profound way. It helped me in New York, LA, my family. I mean, it's getting to Wichita. I mean, how the Lord expanded that ministry through the Passion Play has been amazing.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
How about your understanding, Luke, of the last week of Christ's ministry on earth? How has that deepened as a result of presenting him through the Passion Play?
Oh, gosh. I think I have a deeper relationship because of all that, a conviction, a need, a want. I want to pray. Praying on my knees and fasting, it has really deepened my relationship, that story and what Christ went through. And again, that goes back to Christ just really expanding my ministry in film, video, family. I mean,
I love that.
Spreading that gospel. I didn't really have that deep love back in 2006. I was saved, but it's amazing how the Lord used this Passion Play.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To really expand me.
Let me move over to you, Jim, for a second. What does Luke bring to this role as Jesus that you've seen developed most since he first started performing there in Uruguay?
Well, Luke has always been a people person. Even in high school, people loved him. He has a gentle spirit about him. It turns out right for Jesus. In fact, Marciano, I'm trying to think of his first name, but they did a video of the actor, I can't think of his first name, Marciano, playing Jesus, and they filmed in North Africa, and I saw it in the late 90s, and it was a Jesus who smiled and who children loved. And so that's what Luke uses as his example of Marciano's portrayal of Jesus, where you'll see Jesus smile. We block scenes where children are around him who hug him. And there's a gentle spirit that's in Luke that helps him portray Jesus.
Jesus did say, suffer little children, right, to come to him.
Yeah.
And being a father, too, how is that? You've seen that maybe through the eyes of a dad now.
I think it's given me more of a proper perspective as a Christian and looking at life through the eye gate of Jesus. Now I realize that Jesus had that quiet dignity. He had that strength, that poise, that grace that were his most characteristic qualities, those subtle rebukes.
Right.
So before getting married and having kids, I didn't really pick up on that. But now it's amazing how the Lord
kind of slaps you in the face.
It does, yeah.
You know, as I mentioned at the opening of our show, a Passion Play is a dramatic retelling of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This message, I think, is clearly seen and the song Jesus Paid It All. This morning I woke up, that song was on my mind. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Mm. That song was written by Alvina Mabel Hall. She was born in Alexandria, Virginia back in 1818, was married first to Mr. Richard Hall, then in 1885, the Reverend Thomas Myers. Her hymn, "I Hear the Savior Say, Christ All in All," is in the I.D. Sankey's Sacred Songs and Solos, 1878, and is also somewhat a familiar hymn among British and American hymnal singers. It was written on the flyleaf of the new lute of Zion, the choir of the Methodist Episcopal Church in Baltimore, in the spring of 1865. And that lute, Jim, is online. It's a PDF download. I downloaded it. I'll send you a copy if you want. All 368 pages of old hymns that were written, if you haven't seen that. Yeah. But really, guys, I mean, we talk about the gospel and we talk about the message of the gospel to those who believe. That's our salvation, but it's also our sanctification as we walk in Christ. I mean, we never graduate to new spiritual levels beyond the gospel or without the gospel. The gospel is our life, story, and song. It's what Christ has done for us and nothing that we can do for ourselves. And Jim, you've walked with him for so many years now. How has your understanding of the gospel unfolded in your life through these years?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. That's important. I actually had parents who carried me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, who loved the Lord. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a deacon. I had a knowledge of Christ and a desire to please him. I walked the aisle at 10 years old and was baptized. I surrendered to the ministry at 15. Then I started working with Adrian Rogers and started questioning when I was saved because I had a doubt. He preached on 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life." It was one of the first revivals I ever had with him as his minister of music in Florida. So I was going home one day, and this scripture, it seemed like he used that scripture every night. Probably he didn't, but to me he did. And so I stopped at a red light and I said, "Lord, if I've never accepted you as my Lord and Savior, I do it right now. I'm tired of doubting." I guess I expected an audible voice or bells to ring, but nothing I thought happened. And I said, "God, I came to you in the only way I know how. And if you didn't save me, then you're a liar." Well, that sort of shocked me because I wasn't raised to talk to God like that. And I quickly looked over to the guy parked beside me at the red light. And he hadn't heard me. Our windows were up. But all of a sudden, I got a peace within my heart. And I knew for the first time, realizing that I had put my faith in his word. Because of what he said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know."
Yes.
So after that, I began to wonder when I was saved. Was I saved at 10 when I was baptized? Was I saved at 15? Or was I saved at the day at the red light? I said, "Lord, if you never tell me, I'll take the day at the red light as my starting point." And then a week or so later, he revealed to me of the experience I had as a 15-year-old in Vacation Bible School. I was a teacher of all things, but I'd walked down with the kids to surrender to the ministry. But I remember peace that I had, but mostly is how clean I felt.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out of that place saying, and I'd forgotten this, "Lord, I want to stay this clean." But of course, at that point, I didn't realize I was in Christ, but to stay clean, it had to be daily confession of sin.
Yes,
and so as I worked with Adrian Rogers, I learned that. So I went forward as a minister of music, working with Adrian Rogers, and said, "I want to be rebaptized." And he rebaptized me to get my baptism on the right side of my salvation. But but I was saved that day at 15. So that's sort of been my journey.
Oh, you know, it's interesting, Jim, you say that. I was reading just the other day in a Spurgeon devotional, and he was talking about how as a new Christian, we're so tender at that time. And we, when something comes into our heart, we know right away, and it kind of breaks our heart. You know, I remember as a new Christian, I would sin, and I just wanted to repent so fast, you know.
Yeah.
As we sometimes make excuse for our sin or maybe try to justify certain things, we become more callous, even as a follower of Christ. And as you mentioned, we've got to bring that confession confess, because if we confess our sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you know? And he's there wanting to do that, right, Luke?
Right.
Well, I baptized two of my great-granddaughters in the last 4 months who are in the Passion Play. Beautiful thing is to watch these children on stage. They forget the audience. They're so enraptured by what Jesus is saying or the scene that's been set up, because the script is 90% Scripture.
Yes.
And the Bible says, if my word goes out, it will not return void. The people who come and view the Passion Play may not accept Christ that night like we want them to, but the seed is there, and there's a promise from the Bible that when they hear the word, it's lodged in their mind and their heart, it will grow. My two great-granddaughters, I baptized them within 4 months of each other, but it was that constant word of God getting into their little hearts. I mean, they don't understand the deep things of the word, but they're going to as they grow older.
Right.
And I heard Adrian Rogers say one time, someone asked a great theologian what were the deepest things he knew, and he says, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so.
Yes.
That's one of the great things of coming to the Passion Play, is to hear the word, to see these scenes recreated. And they've been doing Passion Plays for 2,000 years. Yes. It's not something new. No. You know, even in the Middle Ages, they would do Passion Plays on the steps of the church.
Yeah.
It was actually a visual representation of the Bible stories.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, even with our listeners right now that are maybe in a broken spot in their life, the pain, the hurt among families today, you know, Luke, has created so much disunity and separation and tension among families. How has yours and Grace's treasure of the gospel helped to build your home? Because there's that foundation that Jesus talked about, man that building his home on a rock, the sure foundation, or the sand. The same storms, you know, hit both of the structures, but the house on the rock stood.
Right. I think what I have realized being a Christian and being a husband and father is life without Jesus Christ is a worthless passion. I think he is the ideal perfection and the truest form of heavenly wisdom. And I think his grace and his mercy and just what I've learned through failures and successes has really brought more of his power into our home and the way we lead Xavier, where we lead Rain. I mean, that's been a dominating force. Like, he's just the nucleus of our family. That's pretty much how it's guiding our family each and every day.
And it really comes to that place where each individual in the home is surrendered to him.
Right.
I remember Adrian Rogers shared that as you draw closer to him, you draw closer to each other, too, and it develops deep relationships to him. The gospel has such power in the home.
Absolutely. And I think someone may say, well, I've seen the Passion Play. What they need to do is bring someone who hasn't seen it and who will be able to experience this 90% of the scripture that they're going to hear for an hour and a half, and to see the scenes and realize that it's not just about them, but they can be a catalyst to bring someone to the gospel.
That brings me to this thought that we were talking about prior to coming in the room here to record our show. Mm-hmm. That is a new segment of our community, Hispanic community.
Yes.
There's a special night just for the Hispanic community of our city. This is exciting.
Yes. In fact, I went past week and your son Jason interviewed me on the Hispanic station, which is Buenas Nuevas, and that's 105.5 FM and 80.3 AM, a huge station. And I understand that there are between 90 and 100,000 Hispanic-speaking people in our city, and many of them do not speak English yet. They came to me, Sylvia Pineros, who works at the station, came to me about a month ago and said, could we have a Hispanic night? And I said, yes, we'll do it on Tuesday night, which is March 19th at 6 o'clock. That's our dress rehearsal. Now, we sell tickets for Thursday night, which is the 21st through the 24th, but the Hispanic night is free. all are welcome to come, first come, first served. Sylvia and Bibi, her assistant, have translated the whole script into Spanish. It'll be translated on the back wall in Spanish as they sit
subtitles.
And listen.
Basically, right?
Well, yes. It will be that night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we went to Uruguay, this is the way we did in Uruguay. We spoke it in English on stage, but all across the proscenium, it was in Spanish. And we had 513 professions of faith in Uruguay in that week.
Praise God. Praise God for that. We know it takes a lot to put this passion play on. I mean, there's so much goes on, but for the volunteers, the cast, the crew, the choir, the orchestra, I mean, so many parts. And for so many years, Jim, do you ever come to this season and think, maybe we'll just not do it this year. I think I'm going to take a break. You ever think that?
Yeah, maybe every year. It's a lot of work, but I want to tell you, it's a lot of joy in doing it. First of all, I get to work with Luke and bring him in. That's worth it. And then just the people on stage, the ones that come back each year, to see them grow in self-confidence and what they do on stage is amazing.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. This is what makes these passion plays so fun and invigorating is the camaraderie, the unity that we all have.
The family.
And I'm sure it's developed over the years so much.
We want to bless the audience, but the audience doesn't realize that they bless us, and the family that we have brings us all closer to the Lord.
Amen. I love that. Luke, during the crucifixion scene, what's going through your mind, and are you able to see or feel the response from the audience while you're on stage?
I do. That scene is, to me, probably the most important faction of this entire story. If that falls apart, if that's not presented right, I feel like we haven't really done our job. So I told my dad when he brought me on, now I'm a physical actor anyway, but just, you know, reading about that, how Christ was marred beyond recognition and just him being not really scared of what he was about to go through with the beating, but being separated from the Father. Mm-hmm. So I really, really told him, like, I don't want to sugarcoat this aspect of the passion play. I've been sent to the hospital twice doing these crucifixion scenes. So we try to make it pretty brutal and raw as possible. We get a lot of great feedback on that afterwards, how effective that scene was.
You know, as you mentioned, the separation between the Father and the Son on the cross, that separation, it was so that we wouldn't have to be separated from Him.
Jim. Exactly.
Isn't that beautiful? That Christ took the pain, the separation, and the death in exchange for us.
The mystery of the hope of glory that was hidden from us was brought out in the life of Christ. And that mystery that was hidden from the Jewish people and from the world was Christ in us, the hope of glory. So through all of those slain lambs and sacrificed lambs, all those Yom Kippurs, through the 2,000 or 3,000 years of Jewish history before Christ came to fruition in Jesus, the Lamb of God, on that cross, bearing our sin and being the ultimate sacrificial lamb.
Yes, you know, amen. Has there been a performance that stands out among them all that you've witnessed, unusual movement of the Holy Spirit that you can think of?
To me, every one of them, some years there seems to be a greater anointing. I think last year there was a greater anointing than I've seen in a long time. And this year is building up to be something wonderful with the Hispanic night. There's an excitement and being interviewed by you and other radio stations and being on TV, it adds an excitement to it all.
It gets bigger and bigger every year.
That's so fun. Well, Mid-America Passion Play, Thursday, March 21st at 7 p.m., Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m., Saturday, March 23rd at 2 p.m., Saturday, March 23rd at 6 p.m., and then Sunday, March 24th at 2 and 6 p.m. Tickets start at $5, can be purchased online at midamericapassionplay.org, midamericapassionplay.org. Luke, as we wrap up here, what do you hope your audience will walk away with after experiencing this year's Passion Play?
I think what I said earlier, I hope we convey to these people that life without Jesus Christ is a worthless passion. I hope they know that He is the ultimate meaning, the ultimate truth.
Amen. Yeah. I love that. And Jim, any thoughts final before we say goodbye?
Well, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you can talk and lead someone to Christ, which I do not want to put that down. But if you can bring someone, let them see the picture and see it done the way we do it, I think that would be a blessing to them and to the person. You're leading them to the Lord at the same time.
That's right. Well, it's been a blessing to have both of you, the Whitmires.
Thank you.
Luke and Jim here today. God bless you.
Well, it's our pleasure.
As we celebrate the resurrection of Christ together this season.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
The Mid-America Passion Play, March 21st through the 24th at Mid-America Seminary, I-40 in Appling. That's in Cordova, across from Bellevue Baptist Church. Friends, please go to the website, midamericapassionplay.org, and get those tickets, starting at only $5. And don't forget about the Hispanic Night on Tuesday, and that is going to be March the 19th for the special night, free. There's no tickets, but first come, first serve.
Yes.
And let's have our friends listening be praying for that night.
Counselors, Spanish counselors.
Yes.
The invitation will be done by a Spanish pastor, one of the great pastors here in town.
We're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do, right?
Yes,
all
absolutely.
Right. Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
If you would like to listen to today's show again, go to botradionetwork.com and look for Mid-South Viewpoint under the Broadcast tab. The show is also available on your favorite podcast platforms. Some shows have video of the interviews as well and can be viewed at Byron Tyler Radio on YouTube or on our Bot Radio Network mobile app.